And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And it's time to say thank you very much to Alan Collier for 2 hours of wonderful Community Connections and music. Don't forget he'll be back Sunday, so check him out. He plays great music Sunday afternoons. Anyway, it's the Eastern Volunteers show. You're with Greg Carrick, and I've got Annette in the studio from Eastern Volunteers. And before we go into anything that Annette's been doing and is going to talk about, just want to say hello.
Hi.
And you're on placement with Eastern Volunteers.
Yes, right? I'm a Masters of Social Work student from Deakin University.
Okay. And is that a 3-year course or something?
It's 2 years for Masters. Yeah. Although it's taken me 5 years because I've been plodding along doing it part-time in fits and starts. But today's my last day, so finally got there at the end.
Well, congratulations. On the last day, they let you loose on radio.
Yep.
It's good to have flexibility to do these courses in different ways. Part-time, it sounds really good because sometimes you just need to support yourself with work, or you might have family commitments or this or that or the other. And those things aren't a barrier. So that's good.
Absolutely.
Mm. So Eastern Volunteers, what attracted you to do your placement there?
I think because it's local. Yeah. I'm really quite passionate about doing things in my local area. I grew up near Belgrave, so Southern Yarra Ranges, and I've worked and lived throughout the eastern suburbs for all of my life. So it's such a lovely community feel to Eastern Volunteers, and everything there is really so focused on helping people in the local area, which really resonated for me.
Mm. Yeah, and it's good to work with a group that's fairly professional as well.
Absolutely. They're a lovely team down there. Mm.
Yeah. So there you go, Viv, you're listening in. Okay, Annette, you're going to be talking about disability volunteering and the pros and cons and what's good that's happening out there in the community with that and what things might get in the way.
99.1, the voice of the valley.
Got Annette from Eastern Volunteers in the studio, and Annette has been busy working on the area of disability volunteering and things that are available for people with disabilities. So that's been your focus at Eastern Volunteers.
Yeah. So Eastern Volunteers began to notice that there's quite a service gap for people because there's a lot of people out there who would really like to volunteer, and many do, but people who have disabilities find it quite difficult to fit in with opportunities that are available. And there's lots of people out there looking for someone to fill an opportunity and struggling to find someone. So we wanted to look at how that can fit together a little better.
Okay, so what sort of things do you look at to make things, to put it metaphorically, make the path smoother?
So what we did is we had a look at the reasons why it hadn't been working so well already, and then we did a lot of research, and what we found is that it seems to be mainly that there's a lot of misconceptions out there about people with disabilities and what they can and can't do, and a lot of misconceptions that, you know, it might just be all too hard to try and have someone with a disability come in and volunteer, and that they're not going to be able to do the things that you might need to volunteer to be able to do, and that it's all a little bit too hard to try and reconceptualise roles.
Yeah.
To be able to accommodate someone.
Mm. So you're talking both physical and mental disabilities?
Yeah.
So the whole range?
We were quite surprised, actually. Everybody tends to assume that disability equals wheelchair or somebody being led around with a guide dog. But what we discovered is that people who are wheelchair users or who have these sorts of very obvious visible disabilities really are the minority. The majority of people with disabilities tend to have more invisible disabilities, particularly when it comes to things like intellectual disabilities, neurodiversity conditions such as things like autism or mental health conditions as well.
Yeah. Do you find public perception is changing slowly, say with programs like The Good Doctor on, the way they view different disabilities?
I think there definitely is more of an awareness out there in society that there are people living with these experiences of disability, but it's still quite difficult for people to conceptualise unless you've had your own personal experience of either having lived experience or having a family member or a close friend who has some sort of a disability. It's really hard to try and conceptualise how somebody might be able to go about day-to-day things.
Mm. So you've been doing a lot of research then. How do you go about that? Do you contact disability services and find out what their clients are doing or what?
Yeah, so Volunteering Victoria actually started doing a number of forums all about the state because they wanted to look into a lot of this stuff too to see how it could be more accessible and what could be done to really open up in social inclusivity and also economic inclusivity for people who experience disability through the volunteering sector. And they found through talking to people that there's a number of different issues going on, and it's really related to a lot of barriers in the processes to do with recruitment and with retention, and that there's just a lot of misconception out there about what someone with a disability might be able to do and how easy or difficult it might be to incorporate somebody into your agency.
So did you work on researching any stats that are out there at the moment on the say the number of people with disabilities who are able to volunteer?
Yeah, so that 1 in 5 Victorians currently have lived experience of some sort of disability or other. That could be a range of different disabilities. It could be vision impairment, it could be hearing impairment, it could be, as we said, neurodiversity, intellectual disability, physical disability, a range of different things. What we know is that people who do experience disabilities have a much lower rate of employment than those who don't experience disability. They also have a much lower rate of education as well. And for those who do have, because what we've found is that a lot of young people in particular don't always go all the way through to year 12 or go on to university if they experience some sort of disability. And for those that do, once they graduate, they find it quite difficult to be able to convince an employer that they've got something, you know, of value to offer.
So they're struggling as individuals all the time. Will your work that you've been doing, the research and everything, be able to help groups such out there, such as Melba, to access or be able to revamp programs or anything?
Yeah, so what we've done is we've combined all the research together into a program that we're going to be, that we've got just about ready to go now. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be inviting a number of different agencies to be able to come along to a training program, which we're going to be partnering hopefully with some other agencies to roll out. And we'll be delivering that training to agencies who are interested in having more people volunteer and who are interested in making their volunteering opportunities more inclusive to be able to look at how it is that they can do that.
All right, so that's all something you'll Eastern Volunteers will be trying to put get some traction on next year.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And this is Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick, and I've got Annette in from Eastern Volunteers, who's been doing a lot of work researching the way people with various disabilities can and can't access volunteering positions and even work. And we're going to talk now, Annette, about some of the barriers that people find to gaining, to being accepted even just as a in a role of volunteering.
So when I was going through doing a literature review as part of my master's project, we found that there are a number of barriers both to recruitment and also to retention of volunteers who experience disability. So one of the first major things, obviously, when it comes to recruitment is a lot of people really struggle to find volunteer opportunities. Most people, if you are thinking about volunteering, it can be, that can be difficult in itself to know where to start looking.
But,
you know, there are options like Seek Volunteer, or there are obviously organisations such as Eastern Volunteers that can be a really good starting point. For someone with a disability, it can be a little bit trickier to figure out where to go. Once people did find opportunities, they then had a second problem of being able to actually access the opportunity. So by that I mean that people, for example, who might experience a vision impairment would find that they couldn't actually get the opportunity up on their computer in such a way that a screen reading program could read it for them. Mm-hmm. A person who experienced intellectual disability would find that the opportunity wasn't available in easy English, so it was just not accessible for them to actually read it and to be able to actually understand what the opportunity was. Also, a lot of opportunities tend to be written in really strange jargon sometimes. Yes. I found
corp talk.
When we were looking through some of the opportunities, I found one out there that was advertising for a truck jockey. I mean, I have no idea what that is, and I'm someone with master's education. It turned out what they were actually looking for was someone who could be an assistant to a truck driver and who could help them unload goods off the truck. There's the other, so that's makes it really difficult. Sometimes people don't know how to word opportunities in such a way that it will really easily communicate to people what it is that's actually being asked for. The other issue that tends to happen with volunteer opportunities is that often people will cut and paste. So there might be something in there that's very generic, for example, heavy lifting required, driver's license required, when in actual fact, that specific opportunity doesn't necessarily involve driving or lifting anything.
Yeah.
So those were some of the main barriers that people would find, because that would often make them sort of, once they could access it, if they could, they'd then go, oh, well, that's not for me. They're not looking for someone who has my capabilities. And also organisations often aren't very good at advertising how inclusive they actually are. Mm. We're really quite aware these days around things like cultural inclusivity. There's lots of opportunities out there that will say that they're suitable for people who are of an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander background, or will say that they're LGBTQI friendly and open to someone from that community applying.
Yeah.
Often you won't see someone with lived experience being encouraged to apply.
Yeah. So Eastern Volunteers, how would they go about tackling those sort of obstacles and barriers that are in the way?
So one of the things we do is we work with organisations around how to go about rewording their opportunities and how to go about making sure that they're offering their opportunities in accessible formats. We talk to a lot of people about the fact that there's lots of people out there these days who don't have more than a year 8 reading level, which shocked me, but you know, that's reality. And if you word a job opportunity or a volunteer opportunity saying you want a truck jockey, what does that mean? You're not going to get the people you need if it's not clear that, you know, what the skills you actually require from someone and what the job is. So that's one of the things that we look at. That's also part of what we've incorporated into the program that we're going to be rolling out as well. It's going to help train people in how to actually look at recruiting people and how to do a lot of pre-planning and back-end planning when we're talking about recruitment, so that by the time you actually get to the point of being ready to start looking for someone to fill your opportunity, you've actually thought through some of these things and can think about who you do have the capacity to support and who you don't, and what's going to be difficult and what actually might be much easier than what you thought it would be. For example, we've had situations where someone has been turned away from a volunteering opportunity because it was thought it would be all too hard to try and help them get there.
Yeah.
When in reality, all they really needed was someone to meet them at the bus stop the first day and help show them the way to the office.
Yeah.
And once they'd done that, they would have been perfectly fine.
Mm.
But that things like that are often dismissed as being just too hard without really drilling down to have a look at actually what is required.
Yeah.
Mm. And actually, that might not be that hard to just get someone to run out and meet you.
Yes, absolutely. So Eastern Volunteers will work with different groups to be able to word up their documents, to think before they put anything out there. Mm-hmm. What about you mentioned the websites. You need some people need readers that will, software to read websites for them. So a business might have to redesign their website a bit?
Yeah, possibly. It's also quite common that people who have these sorts of lived experiences with disabilities have a whole host of adaptive tools and technologies that they tend to carry with them.
Yeah.
So it may not necessarily be about redesigning something. It might just be something as simple as letting somebody have a headset so that they can, you know, listen to the computer while they're typing.
Mm.
It might be looking at redesigning orientation procedures. You know, often for most people, when you start something new, there tends to be a bit of a standard orientation. You might start off, you know, spending a couple of days at reception in the office. You then might do something else that's pretty sort of stock standard. And that doesn't necessarily work for everybody, especially if you've got someone who's got some sort of neurodiversity condition, say, for example, autism, where they find dealing with the general public to be quite stressful and quite difficult. And really, you know, the role you've actually asked them to do is not really related to dealing with reception at all.
Yeah.
There might be other ways where people can become just as well acquainted with the organisation, with how it all works and the context of everything, without necessarily having to be involved in something that's just not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
The Voice of the Valley.
And it's 26 minutes to 3. This is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick and Annette from Eastern Volunteers in the studio. Been talking about her placement with Eastern Volunteers and her work and study and research into people with various degrees of disability being able to access volunteer positions and what things get in the way. But also now we're going to talk about what things help them, the so-called enablers, helps someone to get into a role even though they might be looked at first as being maybe not suitable.
Yeah, so when Victoria Live were doing their research, they found that there actually are a lot of people out there who are quite successfully volunteering who also have lived experiences of disability and are able to do so in agencies that are really inclusive. So there's a lot of quite useful things that can be done, especially around both recruitment and retention, to be able to make the whole situation work so much easier for everybody.
Yeah.
And so one of the major issues that we found is that a lot of volunteer agencies tend to view volunteering quite differently to positions for employed people.
Yeah.
So often, you know, if you're employed somewhere, you might go in and you will have, you know, your orientation and all, you know, the initial bits to get started.
Yep.
And then you will find that you have ongoing work with your line manager to be able to look at, you know, what are your goals, you know, further training might you like to do, are you looking at the potential of maybe working towards a promotion, that sort of thing. People tend not to do that for people who volunteer.
Yeah.
But what we found is for people who are experiencing disability, that's really important. And having, you know, not seeing onboarding as just a bit of a tick box, it's finished in the first week event, but something that's an ongoing revisited issue over time is really important. So having someone who can regularly check in with the volunteer to see how they're doing. Because people volunteer for a whole host of different reasons. Some people will do it as a pathway to employment, especially young people. So for them, it's really quite important that they're learning the skills that they want to learn and that they're building the confidence in the things they feel that they want to do. Other people volunteer because they really think that social connection is a big part of what they need from their volunteering. Yeah. And so it's really important to check in with them to make sure that they are feeling connected and that they're not feeling isolated with what they're doing. Other people, maybe they're sort of between jobs. We found there's a lot of people who approach Eastern Volunteers who may have been recently made redundant or might be returning to work after a period of time away, you know, with care and responsibilities or illness, that sort of thing. And for them, it's really important to be able to build their confidence back up. And people with disabilities are no different.
Yeah.
So it's really about making sure that there is someone checking in and keeping track and helping people, there's an awareness that there are some goals around the volunteering. It's not just about turning up every Monday afternoon or whatever it is, there's actually a point to it. The agency is getting something out of it because the volunteer is, you know, making a contribution, and then the volunteer themselves are also getting something out of it as well. But then the team that the volunteer are working with also gets something out of it as well, because there's that mutual connection there between everybody.
Yeah. Be important too to learn how to listen, maybe in new ways, because you might be used to dealing with your ordinary workforce or volunteer force, and then all of a sudden you've got someone in who has a different way of trying to live and cope in the world, and you have to try to change your mindset so that you understand what they're saying that to you might not be very important, but to them it means it's a yes or no situation, you know.
Absolutely, and that's going to be a big part of what we talk about as part of our training package is learning styles are very important.
Yeah.
Anyone who's done any kind of management is aware that different people communicate differently, different people learn differently, different people have different ways of communicating and of being in a team. For people with disabilities, that's no different. So just because someone might not be very good at being, say, a visual learner who isn't necessarily going to be able to read instructions from a sheet of paper, if they've, say, got a visual disability, that doesn't mean that they don't have a really wonderful memory.
Yeah.
And that if you tell them things and present things to them in an accessible way, that they're not going to be incredibly intelligent and able to understand exactly what you're telling them. Again, if you're dealing with someone who has autism, it may be that if you present them all the information all at once, that's just going to be too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it might be about learning to chunk things a little more. Again, if you're dealing with someone who's got an intellectual disability, depending on what the disability is, it might be, you know, there might be a range of different ways that it might be best to present that information to someone. But every person's different. And even when you're working with a volunteer who doesn't have a lived experience of a disability, it's still important to speak to them on that individual level to find out what works best for you. How do you learn best? Do you need me to kind of tell you everything all at once and give you the whole context of how your role sits within things? Or do you just want to hear little bits here and there over time? Are you someone who, you know, likes to really be quite active and dive straight in and worry about the consequences later? Or are you someone that really needs to hear all the details of it and have a chance to digest it all before you feel confident to be able to have a go at things?
Yeah. So keep your eye open for next year. Eastern Volunteers will be putting various training programs into place, presumably for other agencies out there, but also for businesses that want to have volunteers come in.
Yes, and for volunteers themselves as well. If you're someone, whether you've got a disability or not, who would like to volunteer, do give Eastern Volunteers a call. We're not going to be doing a lot of assessments over the Christmas period, just because we will be closed, but from January onwards, I think about the 13th of January is the first day of the year that we're open again for assessments. Do contact us and we can certainly have a look at what's out there and what might suit you.
Excellent. And finally, Annette, where to from you? Your placement is finished, your course is finished, and things are going to wind down, of course, over Christmas, New Year. What are you looking for next year?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. If I had a dollar for every time someone's asked me that, I'd have my hex fees all paid off by now. I work in the community services sector already, and my workplace were good enough to vary my contract to 2 days a week so that I'd have time to do my placement. That contract's going to be ongoing till June of next year. So in the meantime, you know, if you're looking for someone who can do 2 or 3 days a week, my dance card's open. I'm really keen to, you know, I want to stay with the workplace I'm at because I really quite enjoy that. But at the same time, I am really keen to experience a few different things and see what else is out there now that I'm about to qualify as a social worker.
Excellent stuff. Well, all the best then, Annette. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And also, thanks for all your work for Eastern Volunteers, getting all that research done and putting a plan into place for next year so that they can carry on with this.
Yes, it's been wonderful. Thanks.